our first order of business is that we are on the Ten Commandments. We are on which one? Which one did we have last night? Which one did we do last week? Excuse me. We did Commandment 7. So let's think about a little quick review. What are our commandments? What is the first one? See if you can do it without looking. First commandment. And where do we find them? First of all, where do we find them? In Exodus 20, and you see them all again in Deuteronomy 5, where Moses reiterates the commandment. Says he, in Deuteronomy, he's doing like a final sermon. If you think Harry's sermon's long, read Deuteronomy out loud, and you'll realize it takes a little while, right? But he recounts what God has done for them in their 40 years, and even in the year or two before, when as God brings them out of the land of Egypt. So what is the first commandment? Have no other gods before me. Number two, no graven images. Number three, do not take his name in vain. Very good, Elizabeth. Number four, don't look. This is from memory. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, this was before we broke. Number six, do not murder. Trying to give you a hint. Do not murder.
We thought you were mad. We didn't know.
Number seven we did last week. Do not commit adultery. And today is number eight. Do not steal. All right. We have not said our names yet. So what I want you to do is, as we go around and introduce ourselves, we have two brand new ladies today, so I want you to welcome them. But I want you to tell, what was the first thing you ever stole? Because I am sure that we all, somewhere along the line, have stealed. We have stolen. We stole something that wasn't ours, right? I'll start. The first thing, my name is Cindy Reeder. The first thing I remember stealing was somewhere in elementary school, one of my dad's aunts that we didn't know, but we went to visit them when we were in Florida for vacation, and I took a tube of lipstick out of her, I don't know why I was in her bedroom, but I stole a tube of lipstick. I didn't need lipstick at my age, at 8 or 7 or 6 or something. No. Okay. So you all. Pat, we'll start with you. Give your first and last name.
A hat from a retail store.
A hat from a retail. Pat Dortch stole a hat.
Becky Lewis. I think it was a piece of jewelry that someone had just left out in their bedroom or bathroom or something like that.
Okay. All right.
I'm Sandra's by name, and I was in the first or second grade. I remember that, and it was a piece of penny candy.
Mm-hmm.
I can still remember it. Those little balls in the cellophane.
Yes.
Never found it.
Yes, I know. I won't ask you whether you got caught or what your parents did when they saw, but we'll just stop at that. All right, Linda, let's go back to you. Name?
Oh, sorry. Under Grinnell. I think I was in the sixth grade, and I was looking for the kids in a retail store. Don't know what we took. I do not remember.
But you did take something.
I did take something, and we did get caught. And that was that. Never did it again.
Okay. Kay? Sugar daddy. So she stole the sugar daddy. Okay. And you ate the evidence, huh? Okay.
My name is Leslie Johnson. I live in Trustful, and when I was 6 years old, our school had a bake sale, and cupcakes were a dime, and I did not have a dime. So I stole the cupcakes, and I ate them.
Okay.
I
probably
did.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Okay. Could you use them?
No.
No.
They were so cute.
Oh, I know. You just kind of put them back in. Slipped them back in. All right, Sonia.
I'm Sonia Stallings, and I'm sure I said many things, because I was sort of a troublemaker, but the one thing I do remember was I stole an alcoholic beverage. And that was the first time, so of course my parents saw, because I was
eating. Did you drink it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Gail?
I'm Gail Doral, and I remember being with a friend, and she dared me to take something, and it was the smallest thing I could find in the little store was a little thing of fingernail polish.
See if you could do it. Dare you to see if you'll do it. Elizabeth? Okay, Elizabeth Ray, she doesn't remember stealing anything. That's fine. That's fine. That's good, really. That's good. Okay.
I'm Jenny Haynes, and I'm not perfect, but I don't remember stealing anything either.
Okay.
I do have this experience when I was like in seventh grade, and I was in a drugstore, and I put my hand in my pocket, my coat, and an employee said something to me like, "What'd you just stick in your pocket?" I was mortified.
Yeah, but it was enough to scare you about doing it. Okay. Okay.
Janelle Shannon, you know it has to do with food. My sister would come in with, you know, a sack of candy. Those chocolate things, my fault, and those stars. Anyway, and so I went in there, snuck in there, and got some of it. And it was really good. But you know what? It was a lesson, because it really, you have a guilt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary Lou?
Okay. You said what, the first? I don't remember
that. But the first you remember. The first thing you remember.
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind was a pair of shoes from a store.
Oh, wow. That's a big thing.
Well, you know, back in that day, I was just a teenager, but they didn't have the cameras.
Right.
It was like not a big store, like Sears or something like that. It was a small, probably, owned by whatever one
mm-hmm.
And there wasn't anybody in there. So someone was in there. We did babysit that way too. But they didn't have what they have now.
Right.
You can't have people get away with it, don't
you? Yeah, it's harder. Mm-hmm. No. All right. Sam?
My name is Samantha Skype. On Visitor's Day, I'm here today because my class, I'm visiting.
Mm-hmm.
My school is closed this week because of COVID. What's the first thing you remember seeing? First thing I remember, I guess I was about 12, a long time ago, liked baseball, and I collected baseball cards. And I remember going to Kmart with my parents, and I saw someone had opened a pack of cards. And I had a fanny pack. No one knew.
All right. Marie?
Yes, my name is Marie Lohman. Yes, I stole some things in the past when I was young. I was not a Christian. I stole what from your mama's drawer? I stole my brother's money from my mother. My brother Sid, his money from mama's drawer. Mama asked me if I did. I said, no, I did not. And he was mad. We drove to the store another time, and someone dropped money on the ground. I took it. I didn't give it back. I kept it. I didn't give it back.
Not long. Okay. Sherby?
Well, let me give you...
Oh, okay. Yes.
Marilyn is here. She said she can't remember anything that she stole before. I don't think so.
Okay. Good job.
Good job, she said.
Yeah.
Marilyn Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
She sits right there.
Mm-hmm.
Normal. She's just coming back from California, and they asked all of them to quarantine.
Yeah.
Okay.
California's had a lot of COVID. But anyway, I'm Sherby Thornton. Yeah. I can't remember anything, but when you said that, I thought popped up in my mind of my great grandmother. We called her Mom. So I think I probably stole something
from her.
From her.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm a son, or I'm a big son.
Okay. Yes. Her cousin Cheryl Lamb. Of course. Okay. Yes, your sins will find you out. All right. Does anybody remember the uses of the law? What are some of the uses, the reasons that we have the commandments? Do you remember what they are? To show us our sin. Show us that we need a Savior, and then to be laws for the society, to be laws to help society function, okay, for the functioning of society, for showing us our sin and discipling us, and to be laws for civil, you know, so that you can live together in a civil a society. And so God knew, and it came to pass, as he knew it would, that there would be sin. Adam and Eve were created what? How? In the image of God. And then Eve was the first who sinned. And Satan sort of took her, in a sense, stole part of her being in the image of God. He made everything look beautiful on his sight, on his part. And she took of the apple because he made her think that was something to do. So he stole her, you know, not virginity because that wasn't the case, but her innocence, from her. So that is our first case of stealing. But now that man, through the sin of Adam, we are born all dead in our sins. So we do sin. And God made these Ten Commandments, had them set up way before creation, I'm sure, but gave them to man so so that they would know, we would know how to live and how it, these things will teach us what it means to be, to walk godly. He knew that what? We can't obey them perfectly, right? But we need a Savior who does. But they also are there to guide society so that we can live together. We've seen that the commandments are in two sets, two tables, we say. The first half is what? How our relationship to God. And then the second half, second tablet, is our relationship to one another, to fellow men. And fellow men need to know how to need a set of laws so that they will relate to each other, because we're all dead in our sins. And when you're dead in your sins, what is the most important thing to you? It's me, it's self. Because you either, as Harry puts it often, you either are, you live in a society, you live in with your focus being God, or you live with your focus being self. And so when we live in our, with our focus being self, these commandments don't mean a thing to us, do they? What means the most to us is how I want, what I think, what I desire. It's shown so clearly in this commandment, thou shalt not steal. Because, you see that man-centered heart wanting what he wants. And that means you do anything you can to get it. You can steal it. So what does it mean? What is the, you know, we've talked about the positives, that the commandments have a positive side and a negative side. Now this commandment is given in what? Do not steal. So it's given in the negative side. So stealing is what we are not to do. So what is the positive side? If you're not supposed to steal, what are you supposed to do? And that's what we're going to talk about. What are we supposed to do? What is the positive side to this commandment? Did somebody say it? What? Okay, not to covet. That's a not to, though. That's still a not to. I want you to give me a positive. What are you to do? To what? To give. And what else? Protect other people. And if you're going to give, what do you have to do to give? Anybody remember Ephesians? Is it 4:28? Somebody turn to Ephesians 4:28. After the verse after, it's one I gave to my kids almost every day when they were growing up. Ephesians 4:28. Somebody read that loudly.
Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with the
enemy. Okay, so the opposite of stealing, if the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, let him work. Let him work. And work not just for his own needs, but what does it say? Rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So it's the positive is work with the focus of not just me, but of having your needs met and giving to others. So these are, I want you to think of some words that you would think that might describe these two ends of the commandment. Like work is one, stealing is of course the other, but what are some words you might think of when you think of this commandment, what are some words that describe things that go along with this commandment?
Lazy.
And some positive and some negative. There's both. Some words.
Restitution.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Sharing.
Okay. I'm sorry. Give. Giving. Okay. Sharing and giving are kind of two different things. What, Gail?
Lending.
Greedy is a good one.
Selfish.
What about possessions? because, you know, you have possessions. Anything else you think of? Okay. All right. Let's look at our commandments then and see our catechism and see what they say. We're going to start. I'm going to read you the shorter catechism. Somehow I always turn to the longer one first. Shorter catechism. What is the seventh commandment? I mean, the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment is, you can tell me, you shall not steal. All right? What is required in the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment requires that we utilize only lawful means in obtaining and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. So what have we not mentioned yet that's included in that? Obeying the law. We utilize what? Lawful and only lawful means in getting wealth. So is it wrong for us to get wealth? Is it wrong for you to work and make money? Is it wrong for you to have possessions? No. What we want to do is use lawful means in obtaining and furthering our wealth and our outward estate, both of ours and others. So we do lawful ways of earning money, not just for ourselves, but for others. Okay? What is forbidden in the Eighth Commandment? The Eighth Commandment forbids whatever does or may unjustly hinder our or our neighbor's wealth or outward estate. The things that forbid that. Now, as we look in the larger catechism, we're going to get some better ideas of what that means. But what would you think, what would that mean for you to forbid someone else to make a living? What are the things that one man might do that hinders another man from making a lawful wage, a lawful living? Now, you see, y'all don't do these things, so you don't think of them, but what are some of...
Not giving him his earnings, his fair earnings for him to have a...
Okay. Not giving a worker that's working for you their fair earnings. Okay, what else?
That would be like swindling. That
would be like swindling them. In your business, maybe swindling somebody, like one of the things I saw was false advertising. Is kind of swindling people. You know, scams. Oh, don't you get that all the time? I was so dumb last weekend, the weekend before, so I've had to have my computer totally cleaned, and Harry's too, because of scams of people who, if they did, as smart as they are, if they did legal work, they'd probably make a fortune. But they choose to be thieves and steal from people. Identity, what else can you steal? You can steal your money, but you steal people's identity
and reputation.
We can steal lots of different things, their ideas, all those kinds of things. So this is not just taking somebody else's possession, somebody else's money. Okay? More than that. Okay. So we are also to, in that, not only just think of ourselves, but think about others in the way we earn money and in the way we are forbidden to do it in an unjust way. All right. As you can tell, as we've seen that, possessions are not something bad. Who owns everything? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills because he also owns the hills. He owns the water, the air, the sun. He owns creation. And so possessions are not bad. Property is not not belonging to anybody else. It belongs to God, and he gives us the use of it. And in our country, when we were founded, property was not thought of as of the state. Therefore, there was no property tax. There was no income tax at that time. There would be sales tax or things like that. But realizing, and our founders realized that property and what you had was yours, not the state's. And so we have, as we've gone on, we've seen this grabbing of our income, grabbing of our property, trying to get money from it. But it is ours, and it's our possessions. And so we want to handle them right. Now, the larger catechism gives us some more insight into what this means. So the larger catechism says, what is the eighth commandment? You shall not steal. And what are the duties required of the eighth commandment? The duties required in the eighth commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man. So not to default somebody else, not to try to make a contract that's not right, you know, by making a contract that they're supposed to be true and honest and just, the contracts between man and man. Restitution, we have that word, restitution of goods unlawfully detained from the right owners of them. Where do you see some of that in Scripture? Restitution. The couple of chapters after the Ten Commandments, they deal with expanding, but there's much in chapter 22 and 23 about how you deal with those who steal. And one of the things is talking about if you steal something from somebody, how do you, and you realize it, or you get caught, how do you do restitution? And that there's a story, there's a parable Jesus tells about restitution. Anybody remember that one? Zacchaeus. Once he became a follower of Christ, he was a tax collector and got unjust taxes, charged more to gain for the government and for himself, which is why people hated tax collectors then. And once he became a follower of Jesus, he gave restitution 5 times, I think it says, back to the people he had stolen from. So if we decide we want to steal, what do we do? We are believers, we need to say, hey, that's wrong, and make restitution in some way, shape, but restitution appropriate to what we stole. Giving and lending freely according to our abilities and the needs of others. Giving, that's not on some of our radar, is it? That sometimes we earn money for what we want, what we do, and we don't think about giving it to someone in need or lending it to somebody in need freely with a heart that says, here. How many of you have, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many times have you seen somebody that really has a need and you say, your husband and you talk, or you decide, you know, I'm going to help meet that need, and I don't want anything in return. And you do something appropriate, give them money, give them gift cards, take them meals, all kinds of things we can do that are the positive of do not steal, giving or lending them without interest, according to our abilities and the needs of others. Moderation of our judgments, wills, and affections concerning worldly goods. What's that selling you? This is question 141, if those are looking. What is moderation of our judgments, wills, affections concerning worldly goods? What's that telling you? Be content. Live simply. Moderation. You don't have to have, you know. But live in moderation so that you are free to be able to give, free to be able to share, free to be able to help with others. A provident care and study to get, keep, use, and dispose of those things necessary and convenient for the support of our nature and suitable to our condition. So seeking God as how do I provide, particularly this would be for the father or for the husband, what is a right and just way that I can provide for my family to live comfortably? and know what things are necessary and convenient for the support of our nature and suitable for our condition. If we have someone in our family with a health issue, as many of you do, you have to know, how can I provide for that, you know, the bills for health care? How can I provide for young children who are, you know, are going to grow and go to college? You have to plan for those things to do them in a right way. But we don't have to plan for, I want a trip to around the world next year. You know, that if the Lord gives you that kind of money where you are free to, and also where you are, your mentality is not just, this is for me, but it's, he's given me money to use for my needs, but as well as others' needs. A lawful calling and diligence in it, in providing for our ways. Frugality. Do we just go and buy something because it's on sale? I know people who do that. They don't need it. They just, oh, it's on sale, and buy it. And then put it in somewhere and stays there forever. You know, frugality. Do we watch what we spend? Do we know what is important? Avoiding unnecessary lawsuits and pledges of security or other engagements. That we work to be honest in all of our dealings. And an endeavor by all just and lawful means to obtain, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. Now, what do you know about capitalism? What is capitalism? What's its opposite of? Communism, or the government controlling everything we do. Socialism, yeah, that. So capitalism is what's based on, or what's some of the characteristics of capitalism? Competition. Mm-hmm. Free enterprise. Mm-hmm. Accumulation. Okay.
Profit.
Hard work. Okay. Entrepreneurship. Okay. When does capitalism work best?
When the government stays out of it.
And what else? When the government stays out. But what else? What is it that makes capitalism really work?
When everybody does their part.
Okay. But will everybody do that? What is it? When is a society with capitalism work the best? Because think about this last part of the catechism. Endeavoring by all just and lawful means to obtain, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others, as well as our own. Capitalism works best in a Christian society, in a society where people love the Lord and serve Him, or even if they don't all, that is the Christian leaven is so built into the society that that's what people are operating on. Capitalism Capitalism is gaining wealth. Right, as a believer, when you gain wealth, when you maybe are an entrepreneur and you open up a business, what is one of your goals? It's to make a profit. But another goal is look out for the welfare of others. So what are you doing? You are also not just making wealth, but you are providing what?
Jobs
for other people. Jobs that they can have. And you, in your Christian mindset, you give them a fair wage. You take care of them in the proper ways. And you find ways for them to grow in their being able to take care of things. In a capitalist society, you try to create wealth, which will also create more wealth, giving other people opportunities to become parts of those other businesses and make wealth and create wealth for themselves. So you continue, you may be the richest person, and so you may open up lots of businesses and be fair in what you do with those employees. Even giving them opportunities to buy into or to start their own businesses, or you to start more businesses
so that you are creating opportunities for other people. That's what capitalism is doing. You're gaining a profit, but you don't use all of that profit just for you, do you? Most people that have a business, what do you have to do with part of that profit? Well, you have to put it back into the business so that you can grow the business, grow and help more people earn money and being able to support themselves, people that would not have a job. When capitalism is in a country that has a proper capitalistic society, what kind of classes do you have? Well, what kind of classes do you usually have? You think of a class as being wealthy. Of course, I want to say this. Wealthy, middle class, and the poor. All right. When you're in a non-Christian society and you're working, what disappears? The middle class disappears. And what they want to tell you is, here you wealthy, you have to now give to the poor. But in a Christian society where capitalism is working and where believers are earning money to take care of their own, but also to do what? To share and to give. Not just give wages, but then provide giving. That's when philanthropic, when they grow and the society has people who give to these needs, give to libraries, give to things. We as believers, exactly. Right. 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 They don't have to give it to Planned Parenthood. They don't have to give you. But you see what happens when you have a Christian society. You have people who realize, I'm not to steal, but I am to work. I am to do my work heartily as unto the Lord. I am to provide for those around me who are less fortunate than I am. I provide for that by giving jobs. Even Christian welfare is not good. As a Christian, you find ways to help those who are poor. But like we do here at Briarwood, we don't just, if somebody calls and they want their electric bill paid or they need something, you don't just give them. But you provide for emergencies. But what we do is we'll help you, but you must go through our new focus program, which is teaching them how to work, how to fill out a job application, how to have a interview, how to, so that they can go out and get a job and provide for themselves and their families. And that helps grow the middle class as well. But as a Christian, you are earning to provide for your family, to provide work for others if that's the kind of job you have, and to give and to share for those who are in need. Now, does that make sense to you? Do you see how that is part of this commandment? You shall not steal. It is you shall work, you shall labor, you shall give. And then as you think about the things that we have around ourselves, there's a word that we didn't say, but we've been hearing about it for 2 years, and we're hearing about it this year, too, in our theme for the year at Briarwood. Oh, yeah. Stewardship. Now, this year we're talking about stewardship of your spiritual gift, but in the past we've been talking about resources and your resources and your time. Stewardship is a part of you shall not steal, because you're using what God has given to you for His glory. And stewardship and the work, well, let's get to the forbidden right quick. Let's go ahead and get to the forbidden, then we'll say one more thing. Let me see how we're doing. We don't have too much time. Okay, what are the sins forbidden in the Eighth Commandment? All right, the sins forbidden in the Eighth Commandment, besides the neglect of the duties that are required, The sins forgiven are theft, robbery, man-stealing, and receiving anything that is stolen. So even if you take stolen goods, you know, you see that on TV, that somebody took stolen goods knowing they were stolen, so they're guilty too. So many of these things are forbidden by law, and even you can be arrested, and you can be charged, and you can go to jail if you do these things. Fraudulent dealings, false weights and measurements, removing property markers. Now, that was in the older days where there were property markers, and so remove it so you're stealing somebody's part of somebody's property. Injustice and unfaithfulness in contracts between man and man. You have to make them. What are some of these things? What, Ponzi schemes and all these things? These are fraudulent. They're there to set up a way to get somebody's money and not provide what you promised for that money. Injustice and faithfulness in contracts between man and man are in matters of trust. Oppression, extortion, usury, bribery, and frivolous lawsuits, unjust confinement, and forced migration or genocide. That's part of stealing. Gaining a monopoly or on commodities to enhance the price. Gaining a monopoly so you can push the price up real high. Unlawful callings to what you're supposed to, that's jobs, unlawful jobs. And all other unjust or sinful ways of taking or withholding from our neighbor what belongs to him, or of enriching ourselves by taking things from others. Covetousness, which we're going to talk about in 2 weeks, inordinate prizing of an affection of worldly goods, that's being greedy and having too much attachment to worldly goods. Distressful and distracting cares and studies in getting, keeping, and using the goods, the worldly goods. Envy of the prosperity of others, as likewise idleness, extravagance, wasteful gaming, that's gambling, and all other ways by which we do unnecessarily risk our own outward estate and defrauding ourselves of the due use and comfort of the estate that God has given to us. So God has given us possessions. He's given us a station in life. He's given us talents and abilities. And so we don't want to use them unwisely by doing foolish investments, gambling, by not thinking and looking for programs. You know, some of us are, we have a lot of knowledge but no common sense. And so, you know, we... Oh, yes, the lottery is gambling. And who is being stolen from? People, but what people particularly? The poor. That's where you see all the machines are in poor communities. Yeah, all the rest have lost lots and lots. And it is taking from somebody who can't really even afford it. The gambling places. They're taking your money, and you're foolishly doing it. It's also addictive, and you're foolishly doing it. And if you get involved in some things, you could lose your life. You know, if you get involved with wrong people in those kinds of things, where do these actions of stealing, where do they originate? Pardon? With Satan. And they originate just like we talked about murder and adultery. Where did those things come from? Remember Jesus said, you commit adultery when in your heart you lust after another. The murder is when you begin to despise the person. And it all begins in your heart, where you put them down and you don't look at them with respect and honor. But this too begins in our heart, where we want more. We want more. We want more. We want more. Or we don't want them to have more, so we try to find a way to steal it from them. So these are sins. All sins originate in our hearts and in our thoughts. God has put for us to to work, do all of your work, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, how are you to do it? Do all to the glory of God. And you are to work for the glory of God. One of the things I read, what are some of those little acceptable Christian stealings that people do? Huh? The tithe, but that's stealing from the Lord. What else? How about in an office? Do you think that in offices there's a lot of acceptable, quote-unquote, stealing? Taking the pens home, getting on social media while you're supposed to be doing your work. Well, yeah, I guess that's, I don't really know, I guess that's what scalping is. If you do it as a person because you really can't go, I don't think that's, but those people who, that what you ought to do is just give it to them. Yeah, I mean, if you want to be, you know, probably what you ought to do is just give it to them and or charge them what you paid. But saying, I couldn't go all of a sudden, now I'm going to charge you $5 more than I paid. Is that type of acceptable stealing? What about destroying and not using our environment properly? We are stewards of our environment also. And although most of those things are things done by big companies and things like that, what do we say? Do we sit back and go, oh, yeah, they ought to do that? Do we approve, or do we say, this is God's world? We can use it properly. God has made us stewards. That's what he made Adam and Eve were, to be fruitful and multiply, but they were also to rule over the kingdom and subdue the creation. And there is proper uses of what God has given to us. And that doesn't mean that some of the things you don't ever use, but you, if you use them with moderation and in the right way, they are restored. And so if you cut down a tree, if you go in a forest, the stewardship way would be to just take some and then replant, but instead of just, you know, tearing down a whole area. Or if you do harvest the trees in that whole area, you replant. You take care of God's things. You don't misuse them for your own greed. And there's purposes like that.
And they kill too many animals, so the animal population is getting smaller. They sell animals.
You, the wrong use of God's creation in terms of animals and things like that, without taking care of them. And certain things, you know, they sell for part of the animal, and that's it. And you know. Yeah, the ivory, the tusk for the elephants. So there have been a lot of laws to try to stop that. But then sometimes the, I'm not even going there. I don't need to open up that can of worms. So what we have to do is remember that God has made us stewards, that we have stewardship over the creation and stewardship over what we have. Possession and property is not bad. But what are we to do as believers? We are to use what God has given to us to give, to take care of our family, but also to share. And then as Christians, we want to think about, how am I sharing that? Am I tithing? That's the most, you know, in Malachi it says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, because he says, how have we robbed you, God? You said you've robbed me. You haven't brought tithe into the storehouse. You have not given back to the Lord what was his to begin with. But then, you know, using his gifts in our life to give to others in need and finding ways to do that. Questions? Anything hit you as you've thought about this? Anything you hadn't thought about when we talk about do not steal that we've talked about today? Something click in your mind, you went, oh, I hadn't thought about that, looking at it that way. Anything? Oh, yes. Not reporting things accurately. Your taxes, how much you earned and didn't earn. You know, that's why a lot of people want you to pay them in cash so they don't have to report they made something. A lot of contractors are, you know, that aren't in, that do it themselves. Those kinds of things.
Wants to know what you think about animal experimentation. You know, they experiment on animals to develop cures for others.
Well, you know, I don't have an answer. Let me just say. I don't really have an answer. I know you think of it as animal cruelty, and some of it may be. I really don't know. I know we don't want to use things like for the vaccine. You don't want to use human fetus and human things for that, which is because you're murdering that. That child was murdered. That child was killed. And then the parts used for this. You don't want to do that. But they're animals and they're not humans. And I don't... Right. And you eat it, yeah. Right. They're animals and they're not made in the image of God. They're made... He's not given them a soul. He's not... you eat animals. I mean, some people don't, but I have not thought and cannot tell you a real definitive answer on that. I'm going to put it that way. I can check on it. I can ask Gary, and he'll give me some ideas.
Place in the Bible, I've heard it, I don't know it, but animals are here for man's use.
Yeah, I think there probably is. I don't know the passage, but we're there to subdue the animals, to use them for the various purposes. I mean, when we get to the feast, you don't know how many bulls and goats and lambs were slaughtered for the sacrifices. On the certain days, and like even when a king was inaugurated, there were 12, what was it I read, one of these, and I don't remember which one, there were like 12 days of this feast, and every day there were 10. And one of them, it went up and up every day, one more each day. So they were used to worship God. They were used in the worship of God, and God would not have you do that if it was wrong.
He wants to tell you something that Harry said when he was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I just thought of it. Harry believes animals can go to heaven.
He didn't say that. He teases about whether cats are in heaven and dogs are in heaven. He doesn't know. There probably will be, because we'll be in a new heavens and new earth. So, okay, wait a minute. I'm assuming that there will be, because we're going to be in the new heavens and new earth. And there will be creatures. I think there probably will be. We read in Revelation, they come in on the white horse and the dark horse and the red horse. We read, the lion will sleep with the lamb. We're going to be doing work too. This commandment, we're going to be working in heaven. But we won't have the curse of the earth to work with. It won't be that labor that's hard that we have to fight with the thorns and the thistles. The ground, the earth will cooperate with us because it's a new heavens and a new earth. And what are we going to eat? I have no idea. I don't think when Jesus ate, so we may have to kill animals to eat. I don't know. A banquet table there? So I don't know.
Cindy in Genesis 9:3, it says everything moving, every moving thing shall be food for
you. And so their question was more, what about using them for experiments? And maybe that's why God made lots and lots of mice and rats. I don't know. So that we can use them to experiment on. I don't know. Don't quote me on this. I don't know. All right, turn the tape off. Sonia. Time to, yes. Mm-hmm. Or looking at something else on the computer when you're supposed to be working. Well, home you're not stealing it from yourself, But if you're being paid to do, to work for, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most definitely. So you don't just steal an object. There's a lot of, you, and there are people who steal ideas and say they were out theirs. I'm afraid there's one church we know of that several years ago, the pastor was caught in stealing sermons and giving them. What do you call that?
Plagiarism.
Well, now, there's been one or two more pastors after that. The young man's pastor there now, somebody walked in and said, I've heard that before. I've heard that sermon. Looked it up. Very same words. Plagiarism all over again. And the young man confessed that he had never written his own sermon. He'd never prepared his own sermon. He got them and read them. So that's stealing somebody else's work. And, you know, you see that kinds of thing. That's stealing, too. That's, what is it? I know there's some lawyers who work with copyright, but it's like that cyber identity, that things that people have created, like, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was in that realm of cyber stealing that people can get ideas from other people on the internet.
And photography.
Oh, I bet photography. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so those things. So. Mm-hmm. They try to create opportunities for people, scholarships, and ways to work up to own, managing, and having, and Hobby Lobby. I mean, there have been lots of stores, lots of people that have, Letourneau, it's a long time ago, but with his international, business machines, he developed these huge equipment pieces. And began to give more and more and more to the Lord, to where he was giving 90% to the Lord and 10% to keep and to invest in his properties, because he felt this was the way God wanted him to do it. And this was serving God. And he was creating wealth. He was creating jobs for other people and building that business for that. So Letourneau, and she said Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. So various ones, and they try to operate on biblical principles as well, not just greed. They don't operate on greed. They operate on Bible principles because they want to be faithful to God. Okay, any other comments? Anything? Did you learn anything today that you hadn't thought about? This one was just really interesting to me, that there's so much about this that we, I did want to read one other thing real quick. I know it's time to go. Okay, just a minute. Okay, just 1 minute. I wanted to read what the Heidelberg Catechism says about this commandment. What does God forbid in the eighth commandment? He forbids not only outright theft and robbery, which are perishable by law, but in God's sight, theft also includes cheating. I didn't mention this, but copying somebody else's paper in school and other places. But in God's sight, theft also includes cheating and swindling our neighbor by schemes made to appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, or volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or by any other means forbidden by God. In addition, he forbids all greed and pointless squandering of his gifts. What does God require you of this commandment? That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, that I treat others as I would like them to treat me, and that I work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. very neat. No pointless squandering, not only of our possessions, but of what God has given us, His earth. So, who wanted Marilyn? No, I mean Marie.
Someone told me that property, they use that for garbage. They'll empty garbage there, and then when they stop, they'll just cover it over, and then they'll leave homes. They'll build homes on top of it.
I think if you have a land, you're talking about a landfill, right? Different areas do different things with their landfills, and they need to be careful. In Charlotte, they took landfills, you know, do that crunching and burying it over, and they built golf courses on top. And they had various pipes up to release any gases that might be in the air, but you saw the pipes. Well, these pipes were because of chemicals to help break it down, but just because you had such a conglomeration of stuff, it may have been from chemicals. But, so there's, what you want to do is if you have a landfill, because you do have to get rid of trash somehow, you want to think of a way to use it that's not going to be harmful to somebody else. And a golf course seems like a pretty good, place to, and it was a public golf course so people could go and, you know, have a place to go play golf. So, good question though. It's using God's earth in the right way is what we're supposed to do. What we're seeing in our day and time is using God's earth in the wrong way and trying to, they're going to the extreme of saying they can't use anything when God intends for some of these things to be used for our good. If you do it right and not excessively, but you have to look at it in that manner and try to figure it out. But what, sinful man? You don't always do it that way. So, do you have a hand? Yeah. All right, let me pray for us, and then if you want to ask and talk, you can. Heavenly Father, thank you for this commandment. Lord, we know that we are sinful people, and sometimes we break your commandments unthinkingly. We don't think about it. And Father, as we look at Ephesians 4:28, it just reminds us that let him who steal no longer, but let him do work, good work, and so that he might provide for himself and might be able to give to others. Lord, you have given to us so abundantly, and we need to remember that. And Lord, we need to do likewise, give what you have given to us. You know, we've said many times that even with our finances, that God gives to those that he knows it will go through them to others and to the work of his kingdom. So we pray that you might help us to seek to obey you in this commandment in the positive sense, that we might work heartily, Lord, and never think that that we should sloth at our work or any of those things, but that we would work heartily for your glory and to be able to give for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.